cliffcentral.com.
Grant, I need to make a critical business decision. We've been expanding rapidly, and my gut feel tells me that we should be investing for growth. But I need to put some financial science behind that gut feel of mine.
Don't you have a financial manager or director that can help you with that?
But isn't that rather expensive?
It doesn't have to be. Why don't you contact the finance team? They're a consultancy that can provide you with a part-time financial manager or director at a fraction of the cost of a full-time resource.
Go to thefinanceteam.co.za.
Welcome to the Business Masterclass. It's great to be with you. I'm Adrian Groenewald, with me Louis Groenewald, and we have a special guest who represents USB Ed, and we do this in association with them. Our theme today, management and strategic abilities, what you need as an entrepreneur. And of course, you need more than a half hour to discuss this, but we'll touch on some very key points. Joining us in the studio and representing USB Ed is Nico Liebenberg. Nico, welcome.
Thank you, Adrian.
And it's just a little bit of your background. You're associated with USB Ed, and they kind of ask you kindly if you would join us to have this business skills conversation. But your background as well, putting you here in this chair?
I've got a master's degree in psychology, and for the past 28 years, I've been working in industry, doing strategic planning, executive team buildings, life and executive coaching, and also leadership development.
Psychological counseling, like an ordinary practice, didn't pay enough, did it? And medical aids withhold your money. And
it's hard work in the sense that you must have some kind of makeup to deal with a lot of baggage that people bring into the consulting rooms.
Eventually,
I found myself more comfortable with people if you were to draw a distinction between doing the clinical work, looking at the person, sorting out baggage, versus doing coaching work, looking at a person hovering near zero, just want to get to plus 10.
Yeah.
That's some of the major differences between the two.
Yeah. All right, today, management and strategic abilities, what you need as an entrepreneur. And of course, this is probably a matter of opinion. But what management and strategic abilities would you say, just off the cuff, as you've dealt with entrepreneurs, business people, leaders, would someone need, more particularly an entrepreneur? And the second half of the show, we'll talk to someone who's running an SME.
I think there are a couple of fundamental things that I've observed over time that I think distinguishes an entrepreneur from one that is not an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I would say that's quite prominent is entrepreneur has got a big picture sort of take on the world.
Yeah.
It's a person that can see a lot of patterns that connect, that has got a strategic kind of vision, that wants to move forward. In general, I think they're good initiators, good starters. They're not that good with maintaining and finishing. Mm. When any business venture that they start come to a certain place where it is sort of reaching some kind of plateau of stability, I think the entrepreneur's efforts become redundant.
They almost become bored in a way.
Yeah, they do.
So big picture thinking, ability to connect the dots, vision, they usually have some vision driving them, be it to put a man on the moon or to create an electrical car.
That's right.
Or whatever it is. Initiators, they are initiators,
yes,
but they're not so great at maintaining and maybe seeing it through to whatever the end may be. But when it's stable, they want something else.
Yeah, I think entrepreneur is very wise. He will surround him with people that, from the beginning of the venture, where those people can take the kind of responsibility to eventually create another upward curve when the business reaches a plateau.
Hmm. Okay. So anything else? I mean, we talk about a small entrepreneur. You have an entrepreneur who takes that small business to a much bigger entity. You've got... we spoke a week or two ago about entrepreneurial leadership, where you run big corporates, even listed entities, but you have to think like an entrepreneur these days, innovative, forward-thinking, visionary. You've got to initiate new ideas and embrace a lot of entrepreneurial qualities.
Yes.
So we've got all of those things playing on this field, and it's very difficult to distinguish. Today we're saying, to be more specific, our theme is management and strategic abilities, what you need as an entrepreneur. So, I mean, I've got a list here that was forwarded to me of about 17 things. Is there anything else you want to raise?
The entrepreneur, if you think maybe about Daniel Goleman's definition of emotional intelligence, and I've seen that to be one of the strong, when you talk about emotional intelligence, you can make a distinction between personal elements of emotional intelligence and interpersonal elements of emotional intelligence. And what I've seen is entrepreneurs, and this is one of the personal elements of emotional intelligence, is self-motivation. They've got a huge amount of self-motivation. They don't need someone to tell them what to do, when to do it, how to do it.
Yeah, there's something driving them that a lot of people can't understand. And they've got this incredible passion. Louis?
I agree fully. I think that, Nico, we've seen patterns emerge. A lot of people that are pushed, promoted, even in some cases by political motives as well, and they fail in the businesses as well. So we are very interested in your feeling on to what extent entrepreneurship needs mentorship along the way.
Oh, a huge amount. I think the perfect scenario if one goes into entrepreneurial development would be that you have four major stages in the developing of an entrepreneur. I think if you've got the luxury to assess people, let's say you are given 500 guys to take on an entrepreneurial journey, and you can assess them, maybe use the 16 personalities, otherwise known as the MBTI, using maybe an optimism test of Martin Seligman in positive psychology, doing a good screening of the people that would like to become entrepreneurs, because you can't make everyone an entrepreneur that doesn't have a job. And you can do that screening, and you can take them through basic understanding of marketing, finance, but very much in a classroom setting where they're taught the basics of being an entrepreneur. And then you can take them into entrepreneurial coaching, where another entrepreneur takes the hand of that entrepreneur and starts to journey with him. And when that process is finished, that entrepreneur now needs to get a mentor that will journey with him for the next 1.5 to 2 years. Mm. I think if you go that route, entrepreneurship will be much more successful as opposed to just appointing entrepreneurs or taking anyone that doesn't have employment to become an entrepreneur.
Because we see a lot of that happening, and you see 70-80% failure.
Yes.
Of course, the ideal world is what you just described. In reality, it doesn't happen that way.
Yes.
But Adrian, what is striking? Most entrepreneurs, of course, don't have this background necessarily. They just go for it, whatever the reason may be, and either they've got it or they haven't. But if that could be integrated into your educational system, then you can make people understand that you are kind of a natural entrepreneur, or you're not. You should rather go and concentrate on a career, case may be. That makes sense.
Yes.
You can do that at school level. But in practice, of course, many boffins suggest that, and I think our educational system desperately needs that as well.
Well, maybe we need to distinguish here. Anyone can start their own thing.
That's right.
But entrepreneur is a different breed, a hardcore entrepreneur. I'm not a hardcore entrepreneur, but I also don't want to go to a corporate. So I do my own thing, and I probably make a lot of mistakes. I definitely do. But I don't just grab any opportunity and initiate it and go for it. Within my field, I do that. But so we don't want to let anyone feel that, because that's kind of the solution we give in our country to create jobs. We say people must start their own little businesses.
Yes.
And that's fine. And then you go and you start consulting, and now you're an entrepreneur, aren't you?
Mm.
But not a hardcore entrepreneur. You're not someone who wants to build an empire and big structures and employ and fire and hire and that sort of thing.
Now, I think one can draw a distinction between, I'm pretty much like you, coming from being a psychologist. I place us in a category of guys that can run a practice very successfully. There are some elements about you and maybe me when compared to entrepreneur, but not hardcore, like you say.
Yeah, correct.
And the entrepreneur himself is also very much different than the corporate animal.
Yeah.
Because they want the stability and the security that is provided by a large corporate, where the entrepreneur is not risk averse. He can take risks.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at a couple of things. The ability to manage money. So if you want to be in line with our theme today, management and strategic abilities, what you need as an entrepreneur. You know, one that pops out is the ability to manage money. And that very simply means if you can't manage money, you can't manage a business. Do you know where your money goes each month? Do you live off less than you earn? If the answer to these questions is no, you'll struggle to manage a business budget as well. Interesting point.
It is. Nico? It is. I think most entrepreneurs that I've worked with in the past, they've got an ability to work with numbers. They sort of can see the picture in with numbers as well. And although they are not risk averse, you know, they can take risks.
Mm.
When it comes to money, they realize that is a core resource that they have to work with and to nurture in a way so that the business can be sustainable until they get bored with it.
Interesting. Everyone likes money. Everyone wants more money because that leads to many other things. But some people are actually scared of money.
Yes, that's true.
They are fearful of money, and they won't even know it, I think. They're scared of making too much money. They don't believe they can, or they're scared of what it might do to them. I don't know what it is, but there's a barrier. So the ability to manage money.
And just mention, Adrian, what you're saying also, Nico, is the ability to recognize the need for numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a CA necessarily. That's important because many entrepreneurs don't recognize the need, and then they're going to land into trouble.
Yes.
Because you always get somebody to manage it for you if you recognize the need for it, because accountancy is very basic principles, really. You know, it's mathematical in that sense. If you recognize the need, then you can use the expertise.
Yes.
If you don't recognize the need, be careful of business.
Right, then the ability to raise money. So it's fine, the ability to manage money, but the ability to raise money. Once you can manage money, can you get more? And that's the challenge most business leaders have. When they get to a certain level in their small business, they need more capital to take it to another level. In order to get investment, you need to not only understand where to get money, but how to convincingly make a case that your business is a good risk as well.
Mm.
Nico?
Yeah, I think I've encountered with some of the entrepreneurs that I mentor, I've encountered two types of investors. Those guys that have an appetite to invest in startups, and then those guys that have an appetite to invest taking a startup that is well established into the next level. And depending on who you approach, because for most entrepreneurs beforehand, they don't know who they're going to get when they do their proposals. I think one of the strong things an entrepreneur needs is not to be overcome by the rejection that they might experience in the beginning, time and time again.
Yeah.
When they do pitch their proposals and say they're willing to give so much equity or of their shares for that amount of money that they can start the business, if they can just get beyond that point of not being afraid of rejection, I think they can go a long way. But that's also a learning curve.
Yeah.
And sometimes they sort of develop this thick skin to say, if the next one rejects me, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to go and move forward.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know, we had Dawn Nathan Jones in the studio. She's one of the sharks in the Shark Tank show that's on Mnet at the moment. And you've got young entrepreneurs coming before five sharks, I think. They stand in front of them and they have to raise their case, the ability to raise money.
Yes.
And some of them are horrible, man. They don't know what's going on in their business and they overproject it and this and that. So that ability to raise money is not so easy. The ability to relieve stress, and it speaks to what you just said. I mean, stress is no laughing matter. If you're in business yourself, it's a different kind of stress, sure, but you have stress. If you allow yourself to get frustrated and upset by setbacks, which is what you said, is the rejection. How do you handle that? But if you allow yourself to be frustrated and to be overcome by it, struggle, then you're going to have trouble as an entrepreneur. You've got to learn how to manage that kind of stress.
Yes. I think maybe what you mentioned in terms of the mentor, the mentor can help a lot there.
Give perspective and
absolutely
context.
If the entrepreneur goes and he pitches his proposal to a possible or potential investor and he gets rejected, and the mentor can just walk him through the whole process and tell him what he can learn from the experience. And sort of, you know, the mentor always has the back of the entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And that relationship is critical for a young entrepreneur to go through that those we call it experiences of stress and rejection.
Yeah. Looking at management and strategic abilities, what you need as an entrepreneur. We said first one, the ability to manage money. Second one, the ability to raise money. Third, the ability to relieve stress. Then the ability to be productive. Not everyone has that ability. I don't know what it is. You know, you know your weaknesses. Know when you have more energy in the day. When is the best time for you to work? Know your weaknesses and how do you cover for that?
Yes.
How do you compensate for that? Any comments on that?
You know, I think self-awareness is the start of human growth. An entrepreneur that knows himself, he will know where his weaknesses are, or development areas, as I like to call them. So I think the mentor, again, can help there for the entrepreneur to become more self-aware about things that he needs to develop, whether it be on a technical level, understanding business, or on a personal level, understanding himself. I think the mentor can play a role there, but also the entrepreneur needs to grow into understanding that balance comes from, if you take four primary contexts in life, family, work, social life, spiritual life, and the entrepreneur can continuously own a kind of a balance between those four contexts, not to overextend himself in one of the four contexts.
Most entrepreneurs are horrible at that. It's just the business. You know, that's the focus.
True. And they've got a passion for business.
They've got a passion for business, passion for making money, passion for, I don't know, handling challenges, processing it, and the family must support and run behind them in many respects. So the ability to be productive is a very important quality for someone to be a good entrepreneur. The ability to make entrepreneur friends, I guess that's the networking element.
Yes.
You must have money to make money, and then you must know people to make money, and I guess it plays to that.
Yeah. The entrepreneur that has prepared himself, let's talk about a startup. I've met entrepreneurs that recently got a business idea, and then they want to run with it completely as if any investor is going to invest with it. There is incubation time that needs to take place in the mind of the entrepreneur about his business idea.
Hmm.
You can't immediately, because they generate great ideas 10 per day, because they've got that kind of ability.
Hmm.
But for them to discern which one they're going to run with, which is the most viable, sustainable one to run with, again, the mentor can play a huge role there. And the understanding of the entrepreneur of himself plays a huge role there.
Hmm.
But taking a business idea in a kind of an incubation phase, chatting about it with friends and family, other business people, I think that makes the idea to grow. Maybe even constructing some kind of presentation, whether on Prezi or PowerPoint, so that they can get it out there and see how they think about it.
Yeah.
Because whenever they're going to present it, the investors will ask certain questions that will expand their thinking about what the investors actually want.
Hopefully all their conversations prepared them for that. The ability to make entrepreneur friends. Jim Rohn said, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Mm.
That made me think a little bit. So who do you want to be and then spend time with those kind of people? This can't be totally true, I guess, because you spend most time with your wife and your kids and this. But going broader than that, who do you spend time with, and maybe in your work environment, in your business? But that goes with the ability to make entrepreneur friends. And also the ability to identify strengths and weaknesses. I think we've spoken about that. And I think often you're really strong. I'm not so sure an entrepreneur like Donald Trump knows all his weaknesses. Maybe by now he does. But these guys just bulldoze forward, and they've got so many blind spots. But when you've been successful, then you reckon, well, it's worked for me. Why must I be so focused on my weaknesses? But the ability to identify strengths and weaknesses. If you want to say anything, jump in.
Yeah, I think it's good if that's exactly in this ideal world that I've described, that when an entrepreneur goes through the coaching process, business coaching process, and part of that process is to discover who you are as a person fundamentally.
Mm.
If you take the three concepts that make sense to me is being, doing, and having.
Mm.
So the being would be the essence of who you are as a person. The doing would be your potential as a person, and the having would result from that in terms of material possessions and what else that results from the doing.
Okay.
If a business coach can journey with an entrepreneur and help him to understand himself better, his beingness more than his potential. Although potential, the having side, can give you a lot of information about the beingness. But when the entrepreneur can start to discover his beingness, because this is a discovery process, it's not a once-off, one dream, one pat on your back, and there you go. It's more like a journey that they walk through.
Mm.
And that discovery can help them a lot in understanding themselves.
Okay. Yeah, good point.
Arden, can just mention this incubation principle is a very important one. If we think back that 90% of the failures are probably because of a lack of incubation period, then they learn the hard lessons once they've committed their money, etc., and then it's one painful lesson after the other. And then, of course, so incubation is a very important principle, because all things we speak about can be learnt in the incubation period, in principle. So this is when wisdom is created. Also then you learn to understand yourself and your weaknesses as well. So I think the incubation period is a very important part of it.
The ability to hire effective people, I mean, that any manager, but specifically entrepreneurs, because you, when you're a young entrepreneur, you're running around doing everything. Now you have to start employing people. And it's almost as though some individuals just pick the wrong guys around them. They really do. But that ability, what is that ability, Nico? How do I, why can one person hire effective people and another cannot?
I think for two reasons. If you can hire effective people, most probably you've got good intuition about people. Most entrepreneurs actually do have good intuition about people. They tend to be intuitive, big picture, strategic kind of thinkers. So they've got that ability. But I think what sometimes might be lacking is to just add a little bit of science to that. And by that I mean that if you can maybe let your possible candidates that you would like to hire do a personality analysis, and there are many of those. Any kind of battery of tests that you can take a possible candidate through to make a good decision. Decision-making or good decision-making depends on the amount of information that you have.
Maybe
so
good
the
mentor.
More information that you have.
Good mentor would probably be able to guide you there.
Yes. Yeah, but the point here is that add a bit of science to it. Now, remember, all the boffins we've had around say, don't rely just on the interview, because you can, a person can be quite mentally off balance and be brilliant at the interview. When you add a bit of science to it, you can balance it out. The point also, the danger is, I'm an entrepreneur now, I need somebody to do a part of the business that I can't handle, like being a... You tend to then try and be objective, as such, and you may lose your intuitive feeling as well. That's why a little bit of science could really help there.
Yeah, I think so. One of the processes that we've implemented in one of the companies that I have is to take the guys through a sort of a battery of tests, and then we have panel interviews with them, then we have lunch with them, and then we invite them for a day, if they make the shortlist, for a day to come and spend a day with us. And in that day, you can see a lot about that person.
The masks may disappear in the process.
Well, if you also throw in a few curveballs on the day, because still you can put your best foot forward. Then the ability to train new staff. So it's fine, maybe you employ the right people, but you know, I often find entrepreneurs are not necessarily good coaches. They're impatient.
Yeah.
Just come and do your thing. You know, and have the kind of sense of ownership that I have, okay? Because if I am like this, then the whole world should be like me. But the ability to train your staff takes patience, and now suddenly you have to be the coach.
Yes.
And that's not always easy. Then the ability to manage staff. So fine, can you pick the right people, firstly? Secondly, the onboarding. Can I bring you on board effectively? And thirdly, the ability to manage staff. Once you have the right people, you need to manage them well. Early on in your business's growth, you'll be everyone's manager, and that's the way it is. So it pays to be effective. If you don't already know how to manage, take the time to learn how to motivate, encourage, and develop your staff. That's an important one.
Yeah, very important.
That's where leadership really kicks in also.
I think so. If the corporates and small businesses that I work with, it's sort of time and time again prove to me that the whole culture of the company or the business stems from the leader, the initiator, the visionary, the one that started the business.
Yeah.
If you take him out of the equation or her out of the equation, you lose the heart of that culture of that business.
Yeah.
But it's also true what you say, they don't necessarily want to train people and coach them and journey with them. They, since they are constructed or made up the way they are, they want to move forward. So if they do tell you something and you don't listen, it's not like they're going to sit with you and hear, you know, what is the issue and how can we resolve that. For one of the companies that I do work that was started by a great entrepreneur, what he does is get guys like me to come in and to coach his people. So if the entrepreneur doesn't have that ability to coach and to train, obviously there are great people that are passionate about doing that.
Mm.
And the wise entrepreneur will get that kind of people to come and assist him to create a kind of a culture in his company, in his business, that will really take them forward the way he would like the company to go forward.
Okay, the ability to connect via social media or social networking, and that's a very important thing in today's world. You know, just your ability to understand social media, how to network via social structures,
yes,
and social media per se, I think that's an important thing today.
Very important. Yeah, we can't neglect that element of business, and I think any entrepreneur needs to balance the use of social media in his marketing with face-to-face marketing and actually going and seeing clients or seeing people that might be interested in his product or service.
Mm.
The one does not replace the other, although both of them, it's not an either or, it's a both and more there.
Mm.
So use the social media because it is very powerful to bring you to people, to huge amounts of people very quickly.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, don't neglect that personal face-to-face interaction or just having a coffee, yeah, with a potential client or a client that you already have.
Yeah.
The question is, really, can you really connect without face-to-face? And probably not in many cases, in most cases.
All right, so towards the end of this section of our business masterclass, the ability to focus on your customers. I mean, I'm passionate about whatever I invented as an entrepreneur. I'm passionate about the service that I'm instituting. I'm passionate about, I don't know, whatever it is that I'm going to build now. And I easily forget that I have to focus on customers.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, that's what matters most. Then the ability to close a sale. I mean, that's so many people start their own little business, especially in consulting, wanting to do the consulting, wanting to train, develop, do this, do that. And they forget that in the end, you're a salesman now. Mm. Suddenly, you have to sell.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest fear that most entrepreneurs have in the beginning. And we can say lots about that. We've had lots of shows on sales. But that is you can't be an entrepreneur without selling.
Absolutely.
And the ability to spot new trends. I mean, that's instinctive inside an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think so. They sort of move with the times. They observe things and they would go with new things, new trends. New is a very big thing for an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
The new thing, the new office, the new chair, the new, yeah, PC, the new laptop, the new client. You know, new is a very big thing for an entrepreneur. So they're always on the run, always in momentum to create new things, new contracts, new products, new services. Sometimes the other guys that are more foundational in their way of being, I think they help the entrepreneur there to just slow them down and say, listen, just take a different kind of rhythm.
Yeah.
Because their output is very high.
Yeah.
They can actually work very hard.
Oh, yes, that is them. The ability to deal with failure. You said it earlier, no business venture is a straight line to success. Knowing how to deal with ups and downs is essential, of course. Remember that every successful person out there failed dozens of times before getting to the winning of it all. Failure isn't the end. It's just a data point on the way to success. So, ability, you mentioned that right in the beginning. And the final one I've got here, the desire to improve your world. I don't know if this is always true. Entrepreneurs want to make money. So that's one category. Another category, something big to change the world through computers, through technology, through we've got a lot of that these days. I guess a sense of purpose.
Yeah, I think so. To understand your purpose, your personal purpose in life, I think it helps a lot for an entrepreneur. This, what you're mentioning, might be age-specific. The older we get, the more we leave behind baggage, and the more we step into meaning and purpose.
Yeah.
And we would like to make a contribution more and way beyond than just acquiring money or resources.
Yeah.
But I think young entrepreneurs are very much driven by making money, getting business deals.
Yeah. Nico, thank you. Nico Liebmanberg is still staying with us. We're now going to get real. Quick break, and then we talk to an SME owner, a man, Ian Wright of MeTime. A little bit more practical. We talk to him about his business, about the difference that it has made and still makes. And then we look at, maybe he'll contribute further. I know he can, about the strategic abilities that entrepreneurs need. Stay with us. CliffCentral.com.